I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Juliette Goodrich. We begin with a startling new figure on the coronavirus front. According to the state public health dashboard, the Bay Area's available ICU capacity is suddenly sitting at more than 23%. That's nearly quadruple the number of beds that were available region-wide just yesterday. As you know, anything below 15% is what triggers the strictest restrictions, like business closures and curfews. If we stay above that threshold for the next 4 weeks, outdoor dining and personal care services will be allowed to start reopening. Also, another number we're watching closely tonight, the vaccine count. According to the LA Times, nearly 1.8 million doses have been administered so far. Plenty of people have been sharing their thoughts with us, both good and bad, about how this distribution is going. KPIX5's Wilson Walker is live at the Marin Civic Center with a reality check on the rollout. Wilson.
Juliette, about 3.6% of San Francisco residents have been vaccinated, at least one dose, have been vaccinated against the virus. Over in Contra Costa County, it's about 6.7% of the population over the age of 16. Now, here in Marin, the number is somewhere in between, and this county is a good example of why these numbers look the way they do.
It worked very well. It was very, very well organized. Everyone was very kind and caring. Yeah.
Well, congratulations and happy Saturday to you.
Thank you. It couldn't be better.
Barbara Eaton is probably smiling under that mask. As of about 3 o'clock today, she joined the ranks of Marin's vaccinated, that is, with at least one dose, and that would be precisely 4.9% of the population, according to the county's newly launched vaccination dashboard.
Yeah, it's a frustration, I think, for all of it at every level, you know, our residents, public health, our hospitals.
That's Marin County Health Officer Dr. Matt Willis. The frustration he is describing is shared across the Bay Area, and so is the main obstacle to scaling up those numbers no matter where you live.
We don't know on any given day how many doses are headed our way. And it's very hard to plan and schedule appointments when you don't know what you're going to have.
That's why Marin and several other counties have gotten more refined in their appointment approach, focusing more on those 75 and older. This week, it became increasingly clear that limited vaccine supply will be an ongoing problem.
We have heard from the Biden administration that they will at least offer us more clarity in terms of what we can expect over the coming weeks and months with regards to doses.
The Biden administration is also proposing $20 billion for logistical help.
So those things are really going to help, but it's going to take a while for the dollars to translate into trained people, sites, and all the other difficulties in getting these problems lined up.
So this is what the rate of growth might look like for a while as we are caught in the limits of both logistics and supply.
Yeah, we're kind of hoping that the new administration would sort of, you know, open the vaults and see boxes and boxes of vaccine that hadn't been distributed. You know, that's not the case, you know, and so I think we need to set our expectations.
We keep hearing about expectations, and people who know this a lot better than I do keep telling me that we're about a month away from getting logistics right and maybe 2 or 3 months away from having enough vaccine to make this all work like we would all probably like to see it happen. Now, we keep getting emails from viewers who have been vaccinated and are describing wonderful experiences, as you heard from Barbara earlier, convenient, quick, experiences in getting that vaccine. So the people are out there. I think there's a nice sort of abyss here between, you know, expectations and reality. This is going to take a long time. And as you saw with all those charts from the three different counties I was showing you there, Contra Costa, Marin, San Francisco, the pace of acceleration is pretty slow. And I think that's something we all need to get honest about. This is not going to improve much quicker over the next couple months. We are live here in Somerville. Wilson Walker, KPIX5.
All right, Wilson, thank you for that.
Well, seniors at a Berkeley facility that reported more than a dozen COVID-19 deaths have started to receive the vaccine. The outbreak at the Silverado Memory Care Home on Sacramento Street is the second deadliest at a long-term care facility in Alameda County. It's according to state data obtained by Berkeley side. The facility says everybody who wanted a vaccine got their first dose this week. Additional clinics are scheduled next month. In San Francisco, it's the first full weekend the mass vaccination site at City College is up and running. It's one of three high-volume sites across the city. Mayor Breed says that they'll eventually be capable of doling out 10,000 doses a day. More than 210,000 city residents are currently eligible owing to their age or occupation, but so far, there's only enough vaccine to cover a quarter of them. The city has now launched a webpage for people to sign up for notifications once they are eligible. And we've got a link to that site and every other Bay Area county's equivalent on our online resource page, which you can find at kpix.com/vaccine.
One of San Francisco's most conservative events marched on today. Hundreds of anti-abortion activists walked from City Hall to the Embarcadero Plaza in the West Coast Walk for Life. Now, the annual event coincides with the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion. San Francisco is one of the most progressive cities in the country, and participants say that's exactly why they're here.
San Francisco is a one-party city, and I think they need to be woken up with a seed of the opposing view.
If we're in a city that's so aggressively pro-choice, more than ever, we need a pro-life voice to bring that counter message.
It was a much smaller march than normal due to the pandemic. It was a peaceful one as well. KPIX cameras did not spot any counter-protesters. Well, 4 years ago, thousands of women took to the Bay Area streets to protest the inauguration of President Trump. And now with a new administration in charge, Women's March Oakland and San Francisco came together today online because they say their work is far from over.
We must do what we need to in order to put the pedal to the metal, if you will, to get some of these laws passed that are going to help towards reversing the systemic inequities that are baked into and codified in our laws.
The group said that while the Democrats control the House and the Senate for at least the next 2 years, it is imperative to tackle the most pressing equality issues now.
Well, on to storm watch. I mean, Saturday started cloudy, but it ended sunny. A lot of people were soaking in the sunshine before we just get plain soaked. Yep, there's more on the way. Meteorologist Darren Peck is tracking a lot more rain. Darren?
Yeah, Brian, there's a lot to unpack in the forecast over the next 7 days. So in this first visit, I just want to simplify things and give you the headlines on how this will play out. We'll go into the details later. First item, tomorrow, it's going to rain. But this is not a big deal for tomorrow. It'll be light to moderate rain, a lot like what we had yesterday. There could be some isolated thunderstorms mixed in, but it's not like a heavy downpour situation. We get about a quarter of an inch of rain on Sunday. Then when that first storm passes on Monday, the second item of our headlines comes into play, which is that Monday will be windy. It's a wind advisory already up for the coast and for the city. We could see gusts to 40 miles an hour. Monday, there's no rain, but it's going to be windy and cold. This is going to be what ushers in all the cold air, which sets the stage for the main event, which then comes in on Tuesday, specifically Tuesday night through Thursday. This will be the most impressive storm we've seen so far this season, which this season hasn't been all that impressive, but this would be a good storm in any winter. It'll be heavy rain. It's gonna be fueled by one of those atmospheric rivers. We could get 2 to 4 inches of rain, Bay Area wide, and not just in the mountains. That 2 to 4 inches applies to the communities, the cities where we live, over that day and a half period. And remember all the cold air that will already be here. So we could see relatively low snow levels up in the mountains. And just to show you the quick overview, here's Sunday's rain. Okay, pretty manageable. Now I'm gonna take this from Tuesday night and let it play into Thursday. So once we finish with this one, looking out past that storm to next weekend, there's potentially another one. So it's going to be busy. I'll be back with more on all this in the complete forecast in a few minutes. Guys, back over to you.
All righty, Mr. Peck. Be sure to download the KPIX 5 News app for weather updates on the go. You can also watch our regular newscasts, our 24/7 CBSN stream, and you can sign up for breaking news alerts.
New at 6, California regulators have approved a new set of statewide rules for wastewater coming from wineries. And some smaller operators in the North Bay tell KPIX 5's John Ramos the new requirements could put them out of business.
Winemakers here in Sonoma County say they don't mind following rules, but when the rules are created as one size fits all, it's going to cause a big problem for somebody. When Taft Street Winery in Sebastopol makes wine, it takes water to keep all the equipment clean and sanitary. The wastewater ends up in holding ponds, which are regulated by individual county water boards. But large wineries were complaining that that was too complicated.
So there was an effort to say, let's have statewide waste discharge requirements, and that's going to make it simpler. Well, first of all, if the government tells you they're going to make it simpler, that's not true.
The new statewide rules will require discharge reporting, create standards for treatment systems and ponds, and mandate groundwater monitoring for large wineries. They may be able to afford the new water discharge requirements, or WDRs, but owner Mike Martini says smaller places like Taft Street can't.
Taft Street generates about $2 million a year in revenues. For complete compliance with this WDR, the engineers are telling me it's about $500,000 for us.
He says that might be enough to put some smaller operations out of business. But Don McInhill with the group Russian Riverkeeper says the new rules would also require wineries to evaluate their operations for the potential of other kinds of spills. Like last year when a tank at Rodney Strong Winery burst, sending 100,000 gallons of wine gushing into Ryman Creek and the Russian River.
When you're making wine, you know, everything involved in the whole process is considered, you know, wastewater. If it ends up potentially landing, say, spilling out of your tank and going on the ground. And that's what the plan's all about, is thinking through what if.
Martini says winemakers are already committed to protecting the environment. But he wonders if regulators are asking what if the new statewide rules end up sending smaller wineries down the drain. In Sebastopol, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
The state is giving wineries 8 years to comply with the rules, which would only affect wineries producing more than 10,000 gallons of wastewater per year. California drivers will soon be seeing fewer billboards advertising pot products. State regulators just ordered them to take down ads on any roads that cross state borders. That's after a San Luis Obispo County judge ruled the interstate ads are illegal. Previously, they were only banned within 15 miles of the state line. So the new regulation covers about three dozen major routes, and that includes 101.
Well, butterflies are free to fly, but not nearly in the numbers they used to. The monarch butterfly is fluttering dangerously close to extinction. That's according to data collected by volunteers at 250 sites from Mendocino down to Baja, Mexico. In all, the volunteers spotted fewer than 2,000 monarchs total along the California coast. That's almost 100% drop since the 1980s. At one of the monarch's favorite wintering spots in Pacific Grove, volunteers didn't spot a single one. This is all file footage from years ago. Scientists blame the ongoing destruction of the butterfly habitat for housing and the increased use of pesticides and herbicides.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris sworn in last Wednesday. The Oakland native and first female vice president in U.S. history was definitely on the minds of Steph Curry and the Warriors. They shipped her one of these cool Oakland Forever jerseys in Dub Nation style.
Madam Vice President,
I'm not saying you got to put this up in your office at the White House, but it'd probably be a good idea. Congratulations.
Oh, this means so much to me. You guys, I will proudly, proudly display this in the office of the Vice President of the United States, an office I am about to occupy. And I cannot thank you enough.
Hey, February's around the corner. And for high school sports in California, it's time. It's way past time to let these student athletes play in all sports. Now, we've had parents and students across the Bay Area hold rallies like here in Livermore as part of the Let Them Play California initiative. A pair of prominent football coaches, Sarah's Patrick Walsh here and De La Salle's Justin Allenbaugh, have been out front, lead blocking, trying to work with government officials and safely restart high school sports.
The data and the science is showing that we don't need to kick the can down the road any further. Other states have proven that they can do it. We as coaches have proven that we can do things safely. So let's be given the opportunity. Let's give these kids an opportunity that so many else have. And that February 15th date, that would be a great start. 3 weeks acclimation period, we'd be able to get, you know, about a 2 full month season, which I think everybody would take right now in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Coach Walsh and Coach Allenbaugh, they got it all figured out. They'd like to start mid-February. Other states have done the same thing. North Carolina comes to mind at the outset. But here's the thing. California just sitting there idle with the student athletes. The rest of the country, they keep on playing.
Yeah, it's hard for those kids to see that, too. All right, February 15th, we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Tonight, we've learned California spent about $19 million over the past week guarding the state capitol and other high-profile spots against potential protests. In the end, just one Trump supporter showed up at the capitol on Inauguration Day, and about 50 marched nearby. Well, the security bill covers highway patrol overtime, 1,000 National Guard troops, and temporary fencing.
Well, snowball throwing demonstrators targeted Moscow riot police today. Tens of thousands of protesters have been braving sub-zero temperatures all across the country to demand the release of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. He was arrested on January 17th upon returning from Germany. He had just recovered from nerve agent poisoning that he blamed on the Kremlin. 44-year-old activist is well known nationally for his reports on the corruption that has flourished under President Vladimir Putin's government. Russian police started detaining people before the protests even began. More than 3,000 people in 90 cities.
In Southern California, the FBI is investigating an explosion at a church in the Los Angeles area. It happened at around 4:30 this morning at First Works Baptist Church in El Monte. The church has previously been the target of protests because of its anti-LGBTQ stance. A statement on the church's website calls homosexuality an abomination. When officers arrived at the church today, they found smoke coming from inside with the windows all blown out from the blast.
It was filled with graffiti and just obscene things that they wrote on the walls, and the windows were blown out. They had thrown a bomb in there.
We can't really say what the motive was for this attack. I don't want to say those groups in any way were responsible for this.
No one was injured in the explosion. Investigators are searching the area for security video.
Well, tonight, 143 satellites that were supposed to be orbiting the Earth by now are still sitting on a launch pad in Florida. Bad weather at the Cape forced SpaceX to scrub its mission to launch them today. The company will try again tomorrow. And if it succeeds, it'll be another first for SpaceX, making the largest number of payloads flown on a single mission.
Tonight, someone in suburban Detroit is sitting on a Mega Millions ticket worth $1 billion. So the ticket sold at a supermarket in Novi, and it was the only one to match all six numbers. So that computes to a lump sum of $739 million. That's before taxes. The still unidentified ticket holder conquered incredible odds to win, about one in 302 million. So to put that in perspective, you're much more likely to become a movie star, be struck by lightning, or be allergic to water.
I don't know what to say except to you, my audience. Thank you. And instead of goodbye, how about so long?
That was Larry King's final sign-off in 2010 from CNN's long-running Larry King Live.
Yes, he died today at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. No cause of death was given, but he had been hospitalized there for most of the month after contracting COVID-19. And tonight, people are leaving flowers at his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. CBS correspondent Chris Martinez on the legendary broadcasting career that started with a janitor job.
Larry King and his iconic suspenders were a fixture on nightly television for a quarter of a century. He interviewed more than 30,000 people on his CNN show, Larry King Live.
Do you ever think about being first father?
Yeah, I do.
His guests included presidents, would-be presidents, international leaders, and celebrities.
What are you, first?
Do I have to label myself?
King was born Lawrence Harvey Zeiger in Brooklyn in 1933. His first job in radio was cleaning up a station in Miami Beach. When one of the announcers abruptly quit, King was put on the air. In the years that followed, he moved to television, then back to radio, where he gained notoriety as the host of an all-night nationwide call-in radio program, The Larry King Show.
He'll be here all tonight to explain it all. We'll take emails and phone calls as well.
In 1985, King jumped to CNN with his own nightly interview show. That's where he stayed for 25 years. His style was direct, but not confrontational, making him popular among controversial guests.
I listened to answers, asked short questions, left my ego at the door, and I had a motto through my whole career, is that I never learned anything when I was talking.
In 2012, he co-founded internet streaming service Aura TV. Here, he picked up the interviewing mantle again with his show, Larry King Now.
Anything can you tell us about Star Wars 8?
That it happens.
King was married 8 times to 7 women and had 5 children. He wrote 2 books about living with heart disease after suffering a major heart attack in 1987.
Hi, Larry.
Over the course of his career, King won 2 Peabody Awards for excellence, 1 in radio and 1 in television, as well as 10 Cable Ace Awards. In 2011, he received an Emmy for a lifetime of achievement. Chris Martinez, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Larry King was 87 years old. And we want to thank you for watching. We'll see you back here at 11 o'clock.
Until then, the news continues on KPIX.com. For now, as we look at San Francisco, good night.